Good evening, Zimbabwe. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, February 18th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Jonga Kandemiri. Here are our top stories this evening. Zimbabwe police disperse meeting of war veterans in Harare with baton sticks and tear gas.
Brings back memories of the days that Smith would let our nationalists meet up and organize and formulate their policies and just make reviews about what they are as a nationalist people.
MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai attacks ZANU-PF officials for fighting for posts when Zimbabwe is almost burning.
My only concern is that it is the ruling party, and therefore it's like having a captain throwing tantrums in the driver's seat, and that, of course, is a concern.
And the Harare City Council says a local resident has died of typhoid.
Now, our indications are now at 23 in terms of people who have been diagnosed with typhoid. You lost one life.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai has attacked ZANU-PF officials for fighting for posts when Zimbabwe is almost burning. In this second part of a two-part edition, Tsvangirai tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu something needs to be done to address Zimbabwe's problems.
My only concern is that it is the ruling party, and therefore it's like having a captain throwing tantrums in the driver's seat. And that, of course, is a concern, because then the shit of state is not stable. It's not so much about the concern about succession, there is nothing to do with that. But it is assumed such acrimonious levels that the center is not holding. And because the center is not holding, it is avoiding certain critical national decisions that are important for the people of Zimbabwe. You can't be fighting while its Rome is burning, you know, and that's my concern. But otherwise, it is their problem, not ours.
Now that Amai Mujuru has entered the race for the 2018 presidential election, she claimed in an interview with us that there are actually members from your party that are joining her. What is your take on that?
Well, bloody, anyone can join a party of their choice. It's not a claim of victory if you have a few members from the opposition joining you. It's not a claim of victory at all. As far as I'm concerned, those who want to go and join it may have found it necessary to go and join it. Not because of anything other than the fact that it's a new thing, but for us, we have a solid base, and I can tell you, Blessing, we wish you well joined the political fray. Welcome to the opposition politics in Zimbabwe. Let's hope that she will realize that what she has been part of is what has caused this country to be where it is.
And lastly, Zimbabweans might want to know, are you willing to work with her as well as other opposition parties to form a coalition of some sort to challenge Mr. Mugabe?
It's a perennial question which is of no substance to continue emphasizing. I have said over and over again, the MDC welcomes working with all opposition parties to get rid of this. And if Maya Mujuru is willing to do the same, and any other opposition party, they are welcome.
That was MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. The Harare City Council says a local resident has died of typhoid, while the number of those affected by the disease has risen to 23 since the first case was reported last month. Council spokesperson Michael Chideme says the local authority is doing all it can to contain the disease in Glen Nora, Glenview, Budiriro, Hatfield, and Hopley suburbs. Typhoid is spread through poor sanitary conditions, especially dirty drinking water and contaminated food. Chideme tells Studio 7 they are worried that the number of cases recorded continue to rise.
Now, I think the cases are now at 23 in terms of people who have been diagnosed with typhoid for tests. For typhoid, we lost one life, but as a city, we continue to do our educational campaigns with our residents. We continue to urge them to use clean water to wash their hands when they use the toilet, to wash their hands before they eat, they partake of any food, to wash all the fruit that they eat, and to stay in clean environments, to make sure that their toilets are also clean, to make sure that they don't litter, their litter goes where it's supposed to be. And we are also on the ground getting people that whenever they feel the diarrhea, they are vomiting, they have a headache, they should visit our health centers to get attention. So, yes, our education campaigns are going on very well.
There are 23 cases and one life lost. Is the council still insisting that this is not yet an outbreak?
Yes, it's not yet an outbreak. It was the loss that we made when the numbers are about 30 or 40, then it can be declared an outbreak. But for now, it's not yet an outbreak. But we are very much concerned with the loss of life and with the ballooning number of people being diagnosed as positive to typhoid. That is worrying us a lot. And all our city departments are now geared to fight this case. And they are all reporting to the town clerk on a daily basis on the work that they have done to make sure that typhoid does not spread any further.
That was Harare City Council spokesman Michael Chideme in Harare. Information, Media and Broadcasting Services Permanent Secretary George Charamba tells Parliament that the American government is delaying Zimbabwe's digitalization project by allegedly blocking payments to some of its suppliers. Our correspondent Ivan Chifera reports.
Vachipa humbo kukomite paramende inona nezvekuburitswa kwemashoko maerana nekuti chirongwa ichi chave papi vacharamba vati hurumende iri kunetseka chose kubhadhara mari.
It was a demonstration which was organized by former chairman of the world.
We apologize for the technical glitch. We'll give you back later the Ivan Chifera story on the media. Meanwhile, a member of the People's Democratic Party, Elton Shelton, who was allegedly abducted by a non-assailant yesterday, has been found bruised. According to Petros Mkwena of PDP, Shelton was dumped near the Matabeleland South provincial capital, Gwanda. Mkwena speaks to Studio 7's Chris Gande about the issue.
No, what happened is that yesterday, Wednesday, around 12 o'clock, about a good number of Fukenikos guys collected Shelton Elliott at the Pakama Business Center to unknown destination.
And what is the latest? What are you hearing today about him?
What I heard today is that he was released yesterday next to the showground. But I'm told the dread was cut. And he was also
beaten. That was Petros Mkwena, PDP member, speaking with Studio 7's Chris Gande. Now we give you our correspondent Ivan Chifera's story on the media.
Briefing Parliament's Information Portfolio Committee on the country's progress on digital migration, Charamba said Zimbabwe had two payments frozen in Germany as a result of the United States sanctions law.
Each time we do payments to Huawei, we have questions to answer from either directly from the American government or from European governments who are afraid of the American government. They want to know where this money is going, who the recipient is, what it is in payment of, and sometimes Even after you've given them sufficient answer for the first transaction, they still ask the same routine questions in a very boring way. And in so doing, it's not just about the tedium of having to provide them with the same answer. It is also the delay in the transactions which follows as a result.
He said the sanctions were delaying the whole process, and Zimbabweans to explain each time they make a payment to the major contractor in the digitization project, Huawei of China.
It's not that ultimately the Europeans and the Americans finally allow the money to go. It is the irritation of having to justify a transaction which is above board, which is happening in a country where there is representation of both continents, and therefore who know that we are engaging in a broadcast project. You get a sense of spite. You get a sense of gratuitous show of power. You get a sense of being constantly reminded that you survive on our goodwill. It irritates.
He said Zimbabwe had engaged the Chinese over the matter, and a new facility is set to be opened in South Africa to reduce the hassles of paying through European banks. A United States Public Affairs official in Harare referred all questions about the issue back to Charamba. Charamba said they had just covered 34% of the digital migration, adding that Zimbabwe had upgraded its systems in border areas and its telecommunications network no longer interfered with the neighbor's system as required by international law. Charamba said the country's media laws were archaic and needed to be revamped to meet modern-day trends and to harmonize with the constitution. He said government would convene an inquiry of stakeholders to look at the Information and Media Panel of Inquiry report and the recent constitutional judgment on criminal defamation before revamping media laws. Media Institute of Southern Africa, Zimbabwe Advocates Officer Tavani Moyo said it was pleasing that government finally realized that the media laws were embarrassing.
He also outlined that in terms of the laws governing the information industry, the ACAIC, Broadcasting Services Act, and IPA, they need to be done away with. He fell short of saying they need to be done away with, but the actual word is they need to be done away with.
Meanwhile, Charamba said government would engage media owners in the country as it seeks to improve ethics in the media industry.
We will raise issues of ethics and professionalism to say, is it quite the remit of a publisher to have an editor who conveys hatred? Who conveys hatred? A publisher who becomes an actor on a matter he's supposed to report on.
Scores of journalists have been arrested under the country's repressive media laws, such as the Access to Information and Protection of Privacy Act and the Public Order and Security Act and others. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up, we'll take a closer look at Zimbabwe's political crisis as ZANU-PF factionalism intensifies. Stay tuned. But first, a look at regional and international news. A technology company, Apple, is resisting a U.S. government order to unlock its own encrypted software for an investigation into a recent terrorist attack and is calling for a public discussion on the matter. The issue poses a dilemma many Americans face as to what is more important, individual privacy or national security. U.S. President Barack Obama confirmed today that he will visit Cuba next month to advance progress in relations between the two nations and efforts that can improve the lives of the Cuban people. Kenya's army says it has killed the intelligence chief for the Somali-based militant group Al-Shabaab, but the group is denying the claim. And police in Uganda's capital have fired tear gas at voters angered by problems at a polling station, one of many reported around Kampala today, as Ugandans cast ballots in national elections. Journalist Elizabeth Pollard, reporting for VOA, says officers fired the tear gas after people approached police lines complaining they were unable to vote and that ballot boxes had been removed from the polling station before the end of voting hours. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. Clashes between ZANU-PF rival camps today took a new twist with police descending hard on war veterans of the 1970s who were planning to hold a meeting in Harare in solidarity with beleaguered Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa. Factionalism is ravaging President Robert Mugabe's ruling party, with one faction allegedly led by Mnangagwa and another by his wife, by President Mugabe's wife, Grace, calling itself Generation 40. Indications are that Mnangagwa and Ms. Mugabe want to succeed the 91-year-old president. As factionalism continues, opposition parties appear to be spectators of what is unraveling in the ruling party. Not only that, the nation is almost at a complete standstill with political camps in ZANU-PF only eyeing the president. For perspective, Studio 7's Gibbs Dube reached Obet Gutu, MDCT spokesman, and Jacob Mafume of the People's Democratic Party. Gutu says, contrary to belief that MDCT is watching silently, it is actually strategizing, and a coalition with other opposition parties is not out of the question.
Everyone realizes, Gibbs, that the ZANU-PF regime is crumbling. Only this morning, entirely the entire morning, they were running battles between war veterans and the anti-riot police squad, tear gas being thrown onto demonstrating war veterans. And that is actually a clear sign of the fact that things have fallen apart within the factionalized ZANU-PF regime. It is a clear warning to the people of Zimbabwe that the country is actually tottering on the brink of a civil war because we find that ZANU-PF is deeply divided. But as the MDC, we are ready to come to the aid of the toiling masses of Zimbabwe.
Mr. Mafume, what is your party doing? Because it seems as if you're just watching what is happening in ZANU-PF.
Now, the People's Democratic Party is engaged in thought processes. As the People's Democratic Party, the party with the creative solutions in mind. People are suffering. There's going to be biblical hunger in this country. Salaries are not coming. Food is scarce. The economy is in doldrums. As you know, this country always thinks that anything has to be done, elections. But these elections have not solved anything because of the structure of the regime. As the People's Democratic Party that is led by the NDP, we believe that we need a transitional government to give people a break. As you can see, there is now chaos. Jonathan Moyo and Kasukwere are running riots. They want to arrest everyone who went to war. Mpoko is saying, no, Karanga will run this country. So ZANU-PF is basically split into various little governments. Each one is running his own ministry. So therefore, this is what we call chaos, a failed state. We therefore need a reprieve. It has no capacity to run an election. It has no capacity to provide water for 10 kilometers. So you can't trust such a government to then want to run an electoral process which can come out with a result.
Mr. Kutu, as Mr. Mafume is saying, there could be a lot of chaos in ZANU-PF. But you as opposition, you don't want to form a coalition. What is the problem with you working with Mafume for the betterment of Zimbabwe?
Gibbs, let me tell you something. The formation of a coalition is a process and not an event. Obviously, for strategic reasons, it might not be very apt and appropriate for me to disclose what exactly is happening on the ground. Suffice to state that there are trajectories like the National Election Reform Agenda, NERA, which already has brought together about 14 or 15 political parties, all fighting for an even political and electoral playing field. I can assure the listeners, I can assure Zimbabweans that at the time that the elections will be held, I'm very confident that there will be an election coalition of one form or the other. But it may not be proper for us to hurry up things just for the sake of it.
Mr. Mafume, can Mr. Bidi work with Mr. Tsvangirai, you know, in a coalition? Is it possible?
Yes, we what I must mention to Ed is that we have not yet reached to speaking about names. Let's talk about the concept of the Grand Coalition. Some of the members of the Grand Coalition...
In today's paper, BT says you will never work with Morgan.
Yeah, well, no one has said it will never work with Morgan. Mr. Bhutto is talking about a reported Daily News letter, and we all know about the press. But let me not focus on individuals. We were in an inclusive government with Mugabe. Years before that, people said it will never work with Mugabe. So if we focus on personalities, we'll get lost. Let's focus on the suffering of the people of Zimbabwe and what we need to do to alleviate their suffering, not what our positions will be in a coalition. And I do believe that the time is coming for a coalition to be formed. ZANU-PF is disintegrating at a faster rate than we thought. There are also members of their coalition that need to become out of that institution. When we sit down together, we're able to come up with a roadmap for the country. The time is in. We don't create a coalition simply to hug each other and talk about nothing. Let's have a process. Is it for an election? Is it for a transitional government?
But the impression that I'm getting is that Mr. Kudu is saying, no, that cannot happen, Mr. Kudu.
No, I'm not saying that cannot happen, Gibbs. All I'm saying, Morgan Tsvangirai has been very, very clear. He has come out on more occasions than one, publicly saying that the MDC is willing and able to collaborate with any opposition party in Zimbabwe, as long as we share the same values, we share the same mission,
but
the same
saying,
vision
but saying
of
that
creating a democratic Zimbabwe. The problem that we have is that only this morning, in today's Daily News, very prominently worded, saying Tendai Biti has sworn to say he is prepared to work with Maim Juru, with Dabengwa, with Ngwelshwe, with any other politician, but he will never, ever work with Morgan Tsvangirai. Fact, that is in the paper. So all we are saying is, with that kind of attitude, an attitude that exudes the hate, that exudes personal hatred for somebody, we obviously might end up having problems.
That was Obet Gutu, spokesman of the MDCT. You also heard from Jacob Mafume, spokesman of the People's Democratic Party. Both were speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Harare. In part two of this political panel tomorrow, the two parties discuss possibilities of a transitional authority in Zimbabwe.
Look, it's not about position. If this happens in Burkina Faso, we give people who will not run again.
I mean, Burkina Faso is hardly a good example. Oh, my God.
Transitional, they was the same.
Don't miss this discussion here on Studio 7 tomorrow. Now we bring you what happened in Harare today. The Zimbabwe Republic Police today used the baton sticks and tear gas to disperse war veterans who had gathered near the ZANU-PF headquarters and the City Sports Center to express their solidarity with under-fire Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa being accused by some members of the ruling party of allegedly trying to topple President Mugabe. Our correspondent Patricia Mdadigwa reports from Harare.
Police blocked the war veterans in Daba, which was initially supposed to be held at the ZANU-PF headquarters and then shifted to the City Sports Center after ruling party officials stopped them from entering the party premises. The livid members of the Zimbabwe National Liberation War Veterans Association later grouped at an open space near the Harare Agricultural Show before the police descended on them with baton sticks and tear gas. Some of the war veterans were reportedly injured in the running battles with the police. Police declined to comment on the issue. Karen Neander, one of the war vets who spoke to Studio 7, said she was shocked by the heavy-handedness of the police. She said the war veterans had only gathered to discuss issues affecting them and to find out why some ZANU-PF members were denouncing them.
Yeah. So when you sit down with them, who are you? Are you Smith? Are you Bush? Who are you? Why are you saying best down with us? Huh? My fellow comrades, come and help us talk. Zimbabwe, wake up. One team charge fungish.
Neander said the brutal attack by the police and the blocking of their rally resembled the days of the colonial Ian Douglas Smith regime, when police used to stop black people from holding meetings.
It brings back memories of the days that Smith would let our nationalists meet up and organize and formulate their policies and just make reviews about what they are at as a nationalist people. I mean, this is unbelievable. I think this is a historical day in the history of Zimbabwe to show that there is oppression that has visited us now.
Another war veteran, Agnes Yakurima, also expressed shock at the police action.
We are the people who fought for this country.
The war veterans complained that the police had told them that they were not able to provide manpower to monitor their meeting, resulting in them being stopped from holding their intended meeting. War Veterans Minister Christopher Muchangwa, who was recently given a vote of no confidence by another war vet group for allegedly supporting beleaguered Vice President Mnangagwa, convened a press conference in Harare soon after the running battles with the police and expressed displeasure over the way the police are treating the group.
I'm addressing you with a very heavy heart. The heavy heart stems from the events of this morning, specifically the fact that the ZRPC, the ZRP, found itself resorting to heavy-handed violence against members, selected members of and representative members, delegates. So naturally, we are going to the courts. We want to go to the courts to ensure that the constitution comes to our protection, because we thought the party would play fair with us. We also thought the government would play fair with us, but clearly somebody in government appears to be in dereliction of duty.
The war veterans are allegedly supporting Mnangagwa, who is allegedly leading a faction of the party that wants him to succeed the president, while a rival group calling itself Generation 40 is backing First Lady Grace Mugabe for the presidential post. Mr. Mugabe, the world's oldest president, turns 92 this weekend. He has been in power since Zimbabwe attained independence from British rule in 1980. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Patricia Mdadigwa.
Kudzai Chipanga, ZANU-PF Deputy Youth League Secretary, says the protesters were not genuine war veterans.
It was a demonstration which was organized by former chairman of the War Veterans, Chris Muchangwa, and his former secretary for administration of the War Veterans, Victor Matemadana. They organized the tanks, not real war veterans. There's no real war veteran who can demonstrate against his principle, that is the president. That said, they are trying to report that they were trying to demonstrate against the first leg. First Lady Grace Mugabe and Robert Gabriel Mugabe, that is a one unit that you cannot try to separate. They are trying to fool the nation that they don't like First Lady Grace Mugabe, but they like the husband, that is President Robert Mugabe. They can only fool fools in the street, but we as anti youth league will not recognize that. We have since disassociated ourselves from Christopher Muchangwa and his former Secretary General, Victor Matemadanda. We are now even calling for their ouster from the party.
But they are also accusing you, Mr. Chipanga, of working with the so-called Generation 40 faction in ZANU-PF.
What is Generation 40?
They are alleging it's a faction in ZANU-PF.
So if they are alleging that Generation 40 is a faction in ZANU-PF, let the due process take place.
Kudzai Chipanga, ZANU-PF Deputy Youth League Secretary, speaking with Blessing Zulu from Harare. Meanwhile, civil society groups say they are alarmed by the bickering in ZANU-PF, adding the wrangling is preventing the ruling party from addressing pressing issues such as the economy. Hill Zimbabwe Information Officer Rawlings Magede tells Studio 7's Ntungamili Nkomo the National Peace and Reconciliation Commission, as well as the Zimbabwe Human Rights Commission, should get involved.
When we have political parties not tolerating divergent views, that then threatens the prevalence of peace in communities. We are very worried about what is happening. I think today we just witnessed what happened at the city sports center, where riot police clashed with war veterans who were supposed to maybe have a meeting there. So as an organization, things are happening within a framework where there are no mechanisms, such as the NPRC, National Peace and Reconciliation Commission, that has got a constitutional mandate to deal with post-conflict violence, among other things. So as an organization, I think we are very worried about what is the situation that is obtaining on the ground.
That was your Zimbabwe Information Officer Rawlings Magede on the line from Harare. Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7's live talk, when our Women's Roundtable will be talking with listeners and experts about payment of lobola or bride price in Zimbabwe. This is Jonga Kandemiri wishing you a good night.